Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 1, Everton 0. Chelsea go back into fourth in the Premier League. Nicholas Jackson breaks his goal drought with a great goal from outside the box. Chelsea probably should have won by more goals, but kept a clean sheet. Robert Sanchez made some brilliant saves, was named man of the match. Noni Medueke and Enzo Fernandez, Remy Olavia all had good games. Nice to get a win and another clean sheet. So we're going to talk about the game today, as always. And, I'm joined, as ever, by Rambles. Welcome.
Afternoon, guys. Hope you're all well.
And, how do you find that, Rambles?
I didn't enjoy the second half. I'm relieved to get the win because it was just such a nervy game. I was just desperate for us to get that second goal. But it's a welcome 3 points. And I think we have to give credit to a few guys who've had a lot of criticism recently. Robert Sanchez and Trevor Chalobah. I thought both of them were absolutely outstanding today.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, Robert Sanchez in the first half and Robert Sanchez in the second half were like two different players. But he made some big saves in that game. Big saves. Keep us in the game and keep the clean sheet. So, fair play to him. I'm always happy to praise players when they do well. Even players I don't really rate. But yeah, fair play to him. That was a big, big, big win. Everton are not an easy team to play against. And we got that win. That's really important for Champions League. So now we can relax the rest of the weekend and watch other teams play and hopefully drop points. But and the team was interesting. Because Caicedo played right back, inverting. Romeo Lavia started, and I thought that was huge. I thought he was brilliant. I think actually we got worse after he came off, like always happens. I thought he was excellent. And you had Palmer, Noni on the left, which I thought actually worked. I thought he had a great game, deserved to score. And Nito on the right. The action up front, and then you had Trev and Levi, the centre backs, and Kukurea left back. And yeah, it was a pretty strong team. And yeah, the goal was fantastic. I thought brilliant, really well won in midfield by Lavia. Then Enzo, brilliant ball in for Jackson, and it was a great finish. You know, I've been critical of Nicholas Jackson recently, but that was a really good finish. But that's why he's such a frustrating player, because he can score like that, and then he misses like really easy chances. But that's Nicholas Jackson for you.
I think it was such a huge game for him to get a goal. Because obviously, you know, we've got four games left now. I think it's four games. And that could be such a big boost for him, for the running. And hopefully now he can carry that form on to the coming games.
I mean, Jackson before the goal and Jackson after the goal were two different players. Like, he looked lacking in confidence and energy before the goal. And I actually said something about that. 5 minutes, and 5 minutes later he scored. It just shows you what a goal can do. And that's why I wish Cole Palmer had scored today, you know, because I think goal will give him a ton of confidence back. And, you know, we need him. We need him scoring goals.
I think getting that goal just takes a bit of the weight off your shoulders. You know, they must be aware of all the criticism, all the speculation. Oh, you know, he's having a goal drought, you know, he's loss of form, blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, the monkey's off his back and hopefully he can get a few more between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And big game next week against Liverpool, which we'll talk about later. But we've got some people requesting. If you want to come and request, talk about the game, talk about anything else Chelsea related, we'd love to hear from you. So make sure you do request. This is your show. We want to hear from you. So make sure you request. And I'm just going to let up our first requester. Alex, I think his name is. Just bringing him up now. Hi. So what are your thoughts on the game? Hello. I hate it when this happens. Go once. Just unmute yourself and speak. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, I'm going to bring the other guy up. The Atlanta Blues. Oh, this is awesome. This is the official supporters club. Based in Atlanta, in the US. And I just brought them up to speak. Right.
It's always nice to hear from our foreign fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've got family. I've, my my wife's family is American, so yeah, I love America. So Atlanta Blaze, welcome, and what are your thoughts on the game?
Great win today. I mean, we get to stay in top five, and we need that Champions League. But I would say that this win is dedicated to my friend Kyle, who passed away last Friday. His funeral is tomorrow, and he was a huge Chelsea fan through and through. So rest in peace to him. Up to Chelsea.
All right, RIP, fellow Blue. Thoughts are with you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for that. Like, yeah, and obviously our condolences to his family. It's always sad when someone passes away. And yeah, absolutely dedicate that win to him. I'm sure he will have enjoyed it looking down from on high. And yeah, we send all our condolences to his family. Thank you for that, Atlanta. That was really nice. Appreciate that. So we've still got Alex Smith up. If you're here still, you can unmute yourself and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, going once. Going twice. No. Okay. All right. No problem. Some people do have problems with it at the time. We do have a few technical issues come up sometimes. So we'll just remove you. And thank you, Atlanta Blues, for that lovely message. We really appreciate you coming in. Yeah. And if you want to come up and speak, please do request. We'd love to hear from you. We want to hear your views on the game. It's always nice to get a win. I think Louis will be with us later as well from the game. I'm interested to hear his thoughts. so Rambles, let's get on to the Rambles rant, Rambles rave. Who's your? I suppose it's a rave today, is it?
Yeah, I could have done it on several players. I thought a lot of players had a great afternoon, but I'm going to go for Noni Madueke. I just really enjoyed his performance today. You know, he's running at defenders. You know, he's making things happen, and he could have easily scored two or three goals. And he just looked really bright. And, you know, he was playing on the left as well.
And I agree with that. I think he was really, really impressive. He made some great runs. He pressed well, got in really good positions. And yeah, you're right. He could have scored a couple of goals. I mean, Pickford did his normal, you know, play, you know, Peter Cech against Chelsea thing. He always plays really well against us, no matter what happens. I don't know why he just has the game of his life every season against us. And he made some brilliant saves. You know, honestly, on a normal day, Noni would have had one or two goals. And yeah, certainly it's not his best. It's not his, you know, best position. You know, because he's a right winger. To perform like he did was brilliant. And I think he got a round of applause when he came off as well.
He did. Yeah, he got a very good reception. And also, there's been a lot of criticism about him being very one-sided, very left-footed. But, you know, he had a couple of shots of his right foot. So, you know, he's now showing he's got more to his game.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think he's definitely earned his spot in our first choice 11, you know, till the summer. Yeah, it's good to have him back. He does add a different dimension to Chelsea because he's got so much pace and he skill. Does. Like, and he can get in behind, and he's actually not afraid to take on a shot either. You know, he had a few shots today, and he should have scored. Really, really unlucky. Like, one of them was just a reaction save, which was, you know, I thought it was in by Pickford, and it didn't go in. But yeah, he was fantastic today, and fair play to him because he has got a lot of criticism, and it's been deserved because there's times where he hasn't been consistent and he hasn't been good and hasn't performed. But it looks like he's, you know, taken that on board, and he's come back, and he's, the last couple of games, I think he's played pretty well, the last two or three games. So, yeah, hopefully that continues. You know,
We're in a good position now of our wide players. I think Sancho's really, he's playing much better the last few games. I think Neto's probably in his best period in the Chelsea shirt. And you obviously got Madueke and George. So I think, you know, all four are really kind of pushing for a start.
Yeah. I mean, George was great last week when he came on. And obviously got a really important goal. Noni. And Neto, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he scored a great goal last week, a really great goal. And today he was good, and there was one counter-attack which, you know, he made all himself, really. And, like, if he made the right pass, I think he might even have scored. But, yeah, he's definitely improving as the season goes on as well. I do think we'll have at least one winger arrive in the summer. And we'll talk about that later. That's one of our topics, discussing topics, transfers. later on, which you'll all love, I'm sure. And obviously Estevao's coming as well, and he can play on the right. So we've got wide players arriving in the summer, but yeah, it's a good position to have, you know, and especially when they're all fit, which most of them are at the moment, which is really, really important, especially at this time of the season. You know, because at this time of the season, it's not even about performance, it's about the result. You know, I don't care if we win the next four games 1-0 because we've got Champions League. Yeah, it's just about the result right now. So we got the result. Yeah, and he was fantastic. So fair play to Leonard Madueke. Absolutely deserved that praise. And yeah, we should talk about Robert Sanchez. I think, like, you know, we've criticised him a lot on this show. You know, all of us, and with good reason, to be fair. Sometimes he's been absolutely abysmal, but, you know, today he helped win us the game. And some of the saves he made were really good saves. Like, he's, yeah, so credit to him. Yeah, what do you got to say about Sanchez? I know you've been critical of Sanchez.
Yeah, I've been very critical of Sanchez. What I will say, and I think everyone's always said the same, you know, when it comes to shot stopping, he's a very, very good shot stopper. But I think his weakness is he has these bozo moments where, you know, he passes to an opposition player or he comes recklessly running out and he misses the ball and goes to another player. So, you know, his shot stopping is probably his best attribute, but it's his other attributes which let him down. You know, yeah. These moments where he just switches off and he'll pass to an opposition player. Thinking, what the?
He has those brain farts, doesn't he? Like, you know, just crazy moments that come out of nowhere where he and just gives up a chance, you know, and cost us a lot of points this season. But, you know, he saved us some points this season as well. He saved us some points today, for sure.
It's such a shame he has those moments because, you know, when you get that, you know, he's a big unit. I mean, if he could just erase those brain farts, well, sadly he won't now because, you know, but if he could just erase him, he could be a really good goalkeeper.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So yeah, Robert Sanchez, yeah, he got man of the match. A lot of players could have got man of the match today. Like you said, Nonny, I think would have been a really good one. But yeah, Sanchez got it and deserved, you know, made some good saves. So fair play to him. And we've got Dano. Oh my man, Dano, he's back. Great. And we're going to talk about, I want to talk about Romeo Lavia in a minute, but we'll get Dano up first. Dano, welcome. Your thoughts on the game?
Hello, welcome guys. Good morning from Canada. It was a very, I would say, dodgy game in general. I would say I was comfortable, probably up to, I want to say like the 60th minute where Everton started to kind of get a little bit of momentum. Mm. I still think we most likely like we dominated the game in general, but I feel like again, teams, when we're about to play Liverpool, Newcastle, is it Newcastle we're playing? Liverpool, who are our next two teams? Newcastle.
Playing Liverpool at home next, then Newcastle away, then Man United at home.
Forest
away, so it's not easy running.
It's not easy, exactly. And then that's what I'm saying. When it comes to those type of teams, when, you know, we are only 1-0 up, they will be coming after us, right? So we have to find a way to kind of, I would say kind of close off games without the pressure. Cause one thing I know is we are not a good team under pressure, right? And you know, there are some, I think, you know, again, when we did go 1-0 up, we kind of, we dropped back and we tend to do this thing. We slow down the tempo. We are a dangerous team when we keep the tempo of the ball, right? We keep a very quick tempo moving the ball. You know, Shalaba, Levi Colwell are spraying those passes to the wings, to the strikers. Like, we are a dangerous team. I know we're trying to control the game, but I feel like sometimes when we try to control it too much, it, like, we don't have the personnel who's good under pressure and we tend to make mistakes and things like that. So I just want to see a little bit more, I would say maintenance of tempo when we are 1-0 up. I'm not saying, you know, do outrageous things and, you know, give up the ball and stuff like that, but, you know, just keep up the tempo. We are a great team when we're on the ball with quick pace. Just as some standalone, standalone performances I want to talk about. Romeo Lavia, I think we could really see what this kid is about when he's healthy. I think he had a pretty decent game, to be fair. Like, I don't know, like, this guy, the ball is glued to his feet. He's good under, he's good on the half turn. You know, he's a decent player, and it's just so unfortunate that, you know, we don't know what he truly will be like if he's able to stay healthy. Lavia, he had a decent game today. Cole Palmer again, another kind of invisible game. Not a stinker, but, you know, I don't think he really put himself in positions to have a terrible game, but again, just kind of invisible. So I don't know if this is the Cole Palmer we're going to see for the rest of the season. It's unfortunate, but, you know, as long as he gives us the energy, that's the thing. As long as the attitude is there, you know, he's pressing, things like that, I'm okay with that. And then, you know, maybe he needs an off season to kind of get his bearings straight again. Nico Jackson, you know, kind of shaky first half, I won't lie, but, you know, he did redeem himself with that beautiful, beautiful goal. His touch seemed a little bit heavy today. Couldn't really hold up the ball that well, but again, I cannot blame him. He was the deciding factor of the game. And I will say, last but not least, one person I have been harping on, the whole season, Levi Colwell, but today I think defensively, he played a very good game. And that's one thing I want to say about Levi. I think Levi's been a hot topic of conversation this year, is that, you know, some people are, you know, talking about the potential, the price tag. Some people are saying, you know, people, is he going to get sold and things like that. With Levi, is people need to understand you are a defender first. All right. Your main priority is to defend. All right. Ball distribution is a luxury. People need to understand that ball distribution is a luxury. If you could ping balls from the back, that is cool. But if you are a liability for tall defenders, or for tall strikers, I should say, that it, like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But today, defensively, I will say he was very solid. Our back line in general was very solid. So I'm happy about that. And shout out to Robert Sanchez. Shout out to him today.
Yeah, thanks for that, Dano. Like, I do want to focus on Romeo Lavia. I'm a huge fan of Romeo Lavia, and I think we play our best football when he's on the pitch. And I think the first 60 minutes of the game, we played really well, controlled the game. Like, you know, he won the ball to set up the goal. He just has so much time on the ball. And I think we are a better team when he plays. And, you know, you said, I think we said the 60th minute or so was around the time that Everton started to come into the game. Lavia went off in the 66th minute, right? And it was after that that Everton started to have some, you know, more chances. And I think that he's not on the pitch. Because if he could play 90 minutes every week, I think, you know, we'd be a better team. And I don't think Everton would have had the chances they did. If he'd been on the pitch. So
I will say one more thing too. Sorry to interrupt. One more thing. I think today, again, I know it was just against Everton too, right? So I'm not going to really say much, but looking into the future, I think this kind of showed that, you know, Caicedo at this inverted right back, it can be something we look towards into the future, because it looks like we're really trying our best to fit in, you know, this midfield of Santos, Enzo, Cole Palmer, right? So today kind of showed that, you know, with the right personnel, I think we can do that into this, looking into the future. So, yeah, it was a good game, decent game.
Thanks, Dano. Appreciate that. Rambles, what are your thoughts on Romeo Lavia?
Yeah, I think he's got so much potential. I mean, he could be as good as any midfielder in the league. His ceiling is that high. And it's just such a shame. He just hasn't been able to have a run of games. He comes back for a game, but he's out for X amount of games. But hopefully now he's over the worst of it and we can manage him through to the end of the season. Because, as you say, when he plays, we just look a much better team. And we look a much more organised team. You know, when he's playing, it's not this kind of, it doesn't feel there's like a lot of moments in games where it feels like it's a basketball game end to end, but we seem to have more control of the game when Lavia's playing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Like, he is, you know, he's tall as well and physical and powerful. And you know, he's got great ball control, distribution. He can turn the half spaces. He can win the ball back. Like, he's got this calmness on the ball. You feel like you're in control of the game when he's on the pitch. And actually somebody in the comments has said, Paul O, has said, Lavia is so important to how we want to play. His line breaking passes were incredible today. great performance, just needs to stay fit now. And I agree with that. I think, like, yeah, he really was fantastic. And if we can keep him fit, he can be a real big player for us. Even now till the summer, he's not playing in the Europa League. So he can play one game a week to the end of the season. He'll definitely start against Liverpool. I'm sure of it. I think he'll start every game to the end of the season now. So, yeah, fantastic from him. And it's really good to have him back. And next season, yeah, like with Andre Santos coming in, Sugo coming in, and then you've got Endo, Casado and Lavia. I think our midfield's going to be very strong and be able to cope with injuries. I mean, Andre Santos, I think, is potentially a world-class player. So we have him. I think it won't be long until he's in the first choice 11 once he comes back. So, yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to have good competition for places next year in midfield. And Rami Elara hopefully will be part of that. And hopefully the injuries can be put behind him and he can get fit and, you know, play for us and be a big player for us. Yeah, so, yeah, really good to see him back. And he was a big part of why we won today. So, I'm just going to go into just a little plug for the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Chelsea Echo Twitter account is a great account, really great content on there. For this show, we're part of the Chelsea Echo. So, yeah, do give the Chelsea Echo a follow on Twitter. And I'm sure that we'll have Louis with us soon, or hopefully we will anyway. I'm still waiting for him to come out of the game. And maybe he's just celebrating the win. I don't know. I hope he is. That's that'd be a good thing. It's a nice day as well. So, but hopefully we'll have Louis around us around later, and he's got to do his match review as well. So, yeah. So I want to go on to the next thing. And this is more like Chelsea general stuff rather than just today. And it's interesting now, given that we've won. I just wanted to touch on some comments that he's made like multiple times in the last like 10 days or so. Where Endo Musk has talked about how we've been top four almost all season compared to the last two seasons, where the team has been zero times in the top four. And he said this like in three different press conferences. One of them was post-match, I think after, I can't remember, was more recently games. Post-match after Ipswich, I think he said it. And then he said it before last week's game against Fulham or after it. And he said it yesterday as well. And to me, I mean, to me, this has just driven me crazy because he's basically saying that we should get like, that basically, oh, because we've been in the top four most of the season, that's progress. Even if we don't get top five Champions League. So he's like, which to me is just like a poor mentality. You don't celebrate the fact that you're in the Champions League places for most of the season if you don't make it. Like, that's not an achievement to me. And that has frustrated me a bit. What do you think of that, Rambles?
I can see what he's trying to say. I think he's trying to get over the point that in the last few seasons, we haven't been in the top four. And for most of this season, I've had us in the top four. So I can see the point he's trying to make, but it doesn't come across well and it doesn't sound well. And it doesn't give off the right mentality.
Absolutely. And to me, it sounds like a Spurs manager. That's something a Spurs manager would say. Like, hey, we had a good season because we were in the top four most of the season. Doesn't matter, we didn't finish there. But we were there all most of the season, so give us a participation trophy, you know. Like, you know, whatever. We were fourth for a few months trophy, you know, like Chelsea fans won't care that we were fourth for most of the season if we don't get Champions League football. You know, I think it's just, and it's not like a personal thing with Enzo Maresca, it's more like just, like, handle the media better. You know, you need to kind of be more careful about how you word things. Because there's a way you could have said that. Like, you could say, like, we've been in the top four most of this season, and that's a positive thing in terms of the last couple of seasons, but we want to actually finish there. And if we don't finish there, that would be a failure. If you said that, which is almost the same point, but with a little kind of added expectation, I that would be fine. I think he just, and to me, I'm going to put it down to an experience because this is his first season in the Premier League. It's the first season at a big club, managing a big club, and he's going to learn from his mistakes. And that's definitely, to me, that was a mistake. And he needs to.
I think there's been a few times this season where I don't think he's said things the right way. You know, going back to December when we were when there's a lot of talk about us being in a title challenge, you know, I look back at that now and I think he could have just handled things so much better. He could have just said things in a different way and it would have just been perceived in a much different way. You know, he could have just said, no, we're just going to take it a game at a time and just see how things go. But, you know, he was really drumming home the point that, no, we're not in a title race. No, we're not ready. And I don't mean that, that just didn't come over very well.
Yeah, I think, again, you're right. I agree. He could have said, like, it's great that we're in the position that we are. We're doing really well. And we'll just go game by game and just keep trying to win games and see where we are, you know. And that way, you don't put pressure on people to win the title. But you also don't say, oh, we're not title contenders. You just say, we're doing well. It's really great we're doing well. We need just to keep focusing on ourselves and winning every game and see where we are, you know, in May or whatever. Like, and that's what other managers have done in the past, you know. But and that's what I would have said if I asked the same questions. But he kind of just, like, really just dug into, like, oh, we're not ready. And yeah, there is a psychological impact that has on fans as well as players. And definitely a lot of fans didn't like that. I actually didn't have a problem with it really at the time, to be honest, but in hindsight, it probably was the wrong thing to say.
Yeah, I was the same at the time. I didn't think it was much of an issue, but now looking back at it, I can say, yeah, he should have handled the question differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's just something he has to learn, you know. That's just something he's got to learn. If he's going to be at a big club, if he's going to be at Chelsea for a long time, he's got to learn that. And I think he'll get better as he goes on in his managerial career, whether that's at Chelsea or, if that's Chelsea or somewhere else. I'm not on this kind of Maresca out train. I now kind of calmed down a bit. The last couple of wins, like, we've still got a chance of top four, so our top five. So I think it's better to judge him at the end of the season. And right now, I think all the fans need to just get behind him and the team till the end of the season, because he's still got a chance of a trophy and still got a chance of Champions League. So we need to just get behind the team. And I saw a tweet actually saying that Stamford Bridge actually felt like the 12th man today, which is really positive to see. I hope that was the case, and certainly applauding Nonny off is a real positive thing. Like, I really like that, because it just, that gives players confidence, right? It makes them want to play well every game, because they know the fans will cheer them off if they do. So yeah, absolutely, yeah. So yeah, I just get behind Maresca to the end of the season. Is that your position as well, Rambles?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's four games to go now, and we just need to all come together as one for the four remaining games and the possible games in Europe, and see where we finish, but make a final judgment at the end of the season.
Absolutely agree. I think, you know, we've got some big games coming up. Now, every game is a big game now. I mean, Liverpool, Man United, Newcastle, Nottingham Forest, and of course the semi-finals and potentially the final of the Conference League. It's all big games now. This is the business end. We've got to get together and be together for these seven games potentially, and hopefully we finish the season well. Because if you finish the season well, it's always a positive thing. It always, you know, it always gives that positive energy going into the summer, especially because we've got the Club World Cup in June as well. So, yeah, fantastic. So, do give. I just want to chat out the voice note review that Louis will do later today. That'll be on all podcast platforms. It's always worth a listen. It's always, Louis is always fun to listen to, especially when it's like a little confined 3-minute thing. So make sure you give that a listen on your favorite podcast platform. There are many, many podcast platforms available. It's on all of them. So make sure you go and find it and listen to that later today. Yeah. So, the next thing to get to is, the transfers. Right, because this week there's been a lot of speculation about Chelsea and transfers, signings. We're just getting close to the window already. You know, we're only a month away, or just over a month away from the window opening. And Chelsea this week were linked with quite a few players. There were three in particular, or three or four, that we should probably talk about. And I know, because I know we've been very adamant, Rambles, about signing some experienced players, right? And And there was a report from Matt Law yesterday about that we're not going to be signing Kevin De Bruyne. We did go for Virgil van Dijk, but he chose to stay at Liverpool, which is the right decision, I think, for him. from a selfish point of view, I wish he'd come to Chelsea, but so be it. But this week we were linked with Dean Huston from Bournemouth, the centre-back. Matt Law said we were the favourites, which is a positive thing. Winger Jamie Gittins from Borussia Dortmund as well. And then obviously we're being linked with Ian Delap and Benjamin Sesko in particular, I think, up front. And we're trying to do our deals by the end of June, I think. We want to get at least one or two before the World Cup. What do you think of those names? And also the fact we're not going to be trying to go for Kevin De Bruyne, even though he's available.
I'm a very big fan of Dean Huston, and I know he goes against arguably what we want in a defender. You know, we'd ideally want someone who's older and got experience. But I think Dean Huston's one of those generational talents that you just have to make an exception for, because he is that good and his ceiling is that high. I think you are looking at a centre-back who could go on to Saliba, maybe even a Van Dijk level, because he just plays way beyond his years.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Dean Huston is a generational centre-back. He is exceptional. If you look at all the metrics, he's very high on every percentile. The data is conclusive, and he's got leadership qualities. He's brilliant on the ball. He's brilliant on the ball. He can actually break down low blocks with his passing out from the back. He can play the John Stones role in midfield as well. He come into midfield, which is what they did at Man City when Maresca was the assistant coach. So he can do that as well. He can play, he's two-footed, so he can play right centre back or left centre back. He can play with Fofana or with Levi, and it doesn't matter. I would normally want some experience, but when you've got a player that good, you've got to just go for it. So if we can get that through the door, that would be brilliant. Now, I know that you've had your own views on wingers and strikers. So, like, what do you think of the winger and striker targets that have come out this week or in the last few weeks, just generally?
I've seen a huge amount of debate on Gissens and people saying, oh, he's not very good, blah, blah, blah. But I think the potential's there, and I think he's, like with Huston, he's got a very, very high ceiling. And I do think it would be one of those cases where if he went to another club, and if he develops like many people think he will, we'd be looking back saying, hang on, we made a mistake there. I know he's not quite the finished article, but for me, the talent and the abilities there, he just needs to channel certain parts of his game to go to that next level.
Yeah, Jamie Gittins is another one. He's a huge talent. People are saying he could play for England, and you know, he's obviously Joe Shields knows him from his past. I think he was at the City Academy, I think.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, and he's the thing I like about Gittins is he takes on a lot of shots. You know, he doesn't muck about, he just takes a shot. He's not afraid to shoot. Right? And once he gets his antenna on target, he could be a really, really good player. And there's the argument of like we should go for a more experienced winger and there's a few available in the Premier League. But, you know, I wouldn't blame the club for going for Gittins because of the talent that he has. And, you know, again, lots of clubs are looking at him, not just Chelsea. So, yeah, absolutely agree with you on
that. I mean, I've seen a huge amount of debate on Nico Williams. You know, there's a lot of people think, oh, we should go for him. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it'd possibly be our highest earner. You know, he hasn't scored a lot of goals for Bilbao in the league. I mean, I think I'd rather go for Semenyo than Nico Williams. Semenyo would possibly be my first choice if I had to go for someone.
Yeah. He's a good player. Yeah.
The striker one's very interesting. You know, certainly if you believe reports, you would say it will probably be one of Sesko or Delap.
Yeah, that's right. And then a lot of that depends on Manchester United as well, whether they get the Champions League or not, and if we do. So if we both get Champions League, I think he might actually go to Man United. If we get it and they don't, I think we might sign him. If they get it and we don't, well, they'll definitely sign him. So, and it is also annoying that Manchester United have been so awful this season and they could still get in the Champions
League. Still get Champions League football somehow.
Yeah, it's just like, and Spurs as well. Like, Spurs could actually get Champions League football. And they've been awful. They've been absolutely awful this season. And they could still get into the Champions League.
I think in a strange way, and it might be about, well, it's, I feel sick even saying it, but in some ways, it's maybe better if one of the two has to win it. Spurs win it than United. Because I think United will be more powerful in the transfer window than Spurs if they win it.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. Like, Spurs aren't as ready to, don't have the financial, like, well, they don't have the pulling power that Man United have.
No.
That way. Like, they have money. They're definitely one of, they're quite a wealthy club, actually. But they don't have that pull. They haven't won anything. It will be their first trophy for, you know, 17 years or something.
Yeah, it'll be his first trophy in a long time.
That's the only thing. Like, Spurs winning a trophy. Like, I wouldn't like that. I kind of want both of them to go out, really.
That's an ideal scenario.
Like, Atletico will be able to beat Man United and then to beat Spurs in the final. Yeah, that would be fine. I would take that. I'd like that. And then Nico Williams, Nico Williams, talk about him a lot. I think he's way for his wages. I'm not convinced. And also I've heard things about him and his attitude and other things that like put me off.
And I think with Nico, I will say, I think he did get he is living a little bit off the Euros hype, I will say. Cause yeah, he had an amazing, amazing, amazing Euro.
He did. He was better than the Euros. Yeah. 100%.
Right. But, I think after that, I don't think he was as polarizing as that performance. So, I think we need to kind of fall away from, you know, making these signings that, you know, again, like for example, Enzo, right? He had that great World Cup. And I'm not saying Enzo is a flop or anything like that. I think he's slowly building up into his character or his profile, but, you know, obviously let's keep it a buck. Enzo is still not anywhere near the price tag that we paid him for, right? So, I wouldn't mind Nico, but again, I don't want it to be a thing where we are kind of going off of his demands for kind of wages and things like that. Cause like you said, I think he is asking for pretty high wages, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, I'd happily let him go to Arsenal, to be honest. I think that's probably where he'll end up
he's probably Arsenal bound.
Yeah, thanks, Dano. Nicholas, you're up. Welcome. I know you're often here, and we follow each other on Twitter as well. We talk a lot on Twitter. It's good to have you up here. What are your thoughts on the game and things that we've been talking about?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So watch the game. Well, game started at 6:30 my time, so I actually woke up like 2 or 3 minutes before kickoff. So that's always fun. Anyway, so my thoughts on the game were, I kind of expected that with Everton. That's kind of what Everton does, especially with Moyes. They kind of muck it up. They want to turn it into one of those frustrating, you know, make it like a old school, you know, sit deep, unlock the block. I love Jackson's goal. I hope that gets his confidence going. And then I wanted to ask, because you were talking about, you know, United and Spurs could get Champions League, despite the fact that I think one of them is 15th right now in the Premier League. And then the other one is like 16th or 17th. So in your opinion, does that speak to just how strong the Premier League is, or does that say more about how weak, like, the Europa League has gotten? Because I know they changed the format to where it used to be up until last year, you know, the teams that finished third in the group in Champions League would drop down. So that would actually make it a lot harder on the teams that started in Europa League.
Yeah.
Because you got these Champions League level teams dropping down that now have a chance to win Europa.
Good question, Nicholas. Rambles, what are your thoughts on that question?
I think it's possibly a combination of the two. I think the Europa League, I think, is weaker now, but the third place team from the Champions League doesn't drop down. And I think some of the existing teams, like Lyon, they're not the force they used to be. And there's other teams who aren't at the level they were at seasons before. But I also think the Premier League has got a lot stronger. You know, if you look at teams now like Bournemouth, like Nottingham Forest, Brighton, they've all got top players. You know, their scouting's improved massively. And you've got big clubs now looking at players from those clubs, where a few years ago, you wouldn't have seen stuff going on like that. So I think the overall strength of the Premier League, and, you know, with the scouting and the data-led signings, you're seeing the lesser teams making much, much better signings.
I think, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, Ramos. I think, like, in terms of the Manchester United and Tottenham, I mean, Manchester United are 15th, Tottenham are 16th. But I think, like, both of them, I wouldn't say either of them had that strong sides. Like, I would actually say that, I mean, the league table never lies, right? I think the teams, yeah. There's a lot of teams above them who are not as big a clubs as they are, who have better teams. The difference is that those two clubs have more financial muscle than to turn it around pretty quickly. So Manchester United, you know, especially if they get Champions League, then they can sell a lot of the players that they want to get rid of, and then they can buy in players because they've still got the Man United pull, right? They've still got all the history, the tradition. Like, you know, they're not many clubs are able to do that when they're so bad. But Manchester United are one of them. And so, yeah, if they get Europe Champions League, they'll definitely bring in some good players this summer and they'll be a lot better next season. It looks like they're going to bring in Kuna from Wolves as well, who's a good player. And he wants to join them now. Wonderful. Whether they're in Europe or not, he doesn't care because it's Manchester United. And you know, clubs above them, they don't have that. Like Bournemouth don't have that. Fulham don't have that. You know, Brighton don't have that. Whereas Manchester United do. Spurs, to a certain extent, do, but, you know, it's Spurs. You know, they spent a lot of money. They make a lot of money. They make more money than Chelsea do. But they've really not built a good squad. They've got some good players. You know, they've bought some good players, but not built a good squad. And their sporting director gets absolutely hammered by their fans as well, more than ours does. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust Spurs to spend money well. Or to a point of really, because Ange is going whether they win it or not. So, I mean, that would be typical of Spurs, wouldn't it? They win a trophy and then they sack the manager straight away. That would just be hilarious. Because remember that time? They've done it before.
I was just going to say, it's been a really weird year in European football. Like, for example, in Champions League, in what universe would you have ever expected to see Arsenal slap Real Madrid like they did?
I know, that was a shock to me. I didn't see that coming at all.
Real Madrid looked miles off the pace for season. I mean, everyone says they need a huge amount of work in the summer.
I think that the Mbappe, and we're kind of diverging a little bit, but in terms of Real Madrid, Mbappe coming in has just messed up everything because they've had to play him at number 9. And last season, Bellingham was playing that false 9. And they were brilliant. And I think they won the league and they won the Champions League. But Mbappe and his ego coming into all of that.
And coincidentally, PSG are now a better team
exactly. Result
than Mbappe going. Yeah, better without him.
Yes, I think sometimes it's not always buying the best players. It's a good idea. Like if you're going to buy those players, you have to build the team around them. Otherwise, it's not worth it. And Real Madrid would be doing well without him, without Mbappe, right? And so,
Madrid, they love their Galacticos.
They do. They need to stop loving those Galacticos because, you know, the last two Galacticos they signed were Eden Hazard and Mbappe. Right? I mean, you can say Jude Bellingham was one.
Didn't they win more Champions Leagues when it wasn't the Galactico era? Because I remember the original Galactico
era. They did. They won 3 in a row under Zidane, and then they've won another couple under Carlo. So.
I mean, I was just thinking about that Real Madrid team, which won 3 in a row. And, you know, if you look at their front three, Ronaldo, Bale and Benzema, Ronaldo was the star man and Benzema sacrificed himself for the team. And Gareth Bale, which is, you know, he just went about his business in a quiet manner.
Yeah.
You know, that just worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And when you try and add all these stars, he's such a big star, big personality. They all want to be the top dog. You know, Vinicius is a big, big, big star and personality. So is Mbappe. And sometimes it just doesn't work. You know, the balance just isn't right.
Yeah, yeah, some good stuff. Good stuff here. I think, let's get back to Chelsea. This is obviously a Chelsea show.
Yeah, my bad. I didn't mean to get us off
topic. No. It's a good. I think it's an interesting conversation. Actually, I'd love to have that conversation a bit more. But you know, we're a Chelsea show with Chelsea fans. We've got to talk about Chelsea. Actually, Enzo Fernandez is somebody I wanted to talk about as well, because he now has 6 goals and 11 assists this season in 40 games. In the Premier League, he has 5 goals and
7 assists, I believe.
7 assists, yeah. And he has 11 assists in overall. But yes, 5 and 7 in the league, 6 and 11 in all competitions. I think he's really improved this season, and he stepped up as a leader as well. I've always liked him as a player. I was really happy when we signed him. Enzo Fernandez, how'd he do today? And also, how has he been doing this season? Ramel, you start.
You know, I think he's been so much better this season. I think that's something Enzo Maresca does deserve credit for, because I think that there was a lot of times last season where he did struggle, and you know, there were question marks. Could he play with Caicedo? Is he worth the money? But you can just see his game just looks totally different. He's getting into the box more now. You know, he's scoring more goals. You know, he's scoring goals for Argentina as well. And I think he's created the most chances from any midfielder in 2025 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So had our finishing been a bit better, he could possibly be in double figures for assists.
Yeah, I think he's improving all the time. I think he's, you know, I think, and it's clear to me he really loves Chelsea and he wants to be at Chelsea. And he shows up in the big games. He showed up in that Spurs game. He scored a really important goal in that game, which we needed to win that game. That's a big goal. And he got that. And you're right, he's got a few assists as well, and he's creating chances. And I think when Lavia plays as well, it gives him a lot of freedom to express himself and, you know, to take risks and stuff a little bit, because he's got a bit of freedom with players behind him. So, yeah, I think he's been brilliant. I think he's going to keep getting better as well.
And he's a leader as well. You know, he's really growing into that leadership role. He's becoming more vocal. I've seen him shouting at players.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's important. We need leaders, and he's definitely a big leader character for us. We'll keep hold of him. Dana, you got your hand up. I'd love to hear from you about Enzo.
Yeah. So for me, Enzo, I think I mentioned him when I was speaking a couple minutes ago. I will say, I think Enzo is, his price tag is his biggest detriment, right? And again, these players don't choose their price tag. They don't choose what they're being signed for, whatever it is. But again, he came off a really, really impressive World Cup winner, young player of the tournament, whatever it was. And, you know, I'm very realistic Chelsea fan. Has he lived up to the price tag? Unfortunately not, right? But again, that doesn't mean that, again, he's been a big flop. I think this year, just like you said, Maresca has kind of been putting him into that kind of crash the box to box kind of position, attacking eight, if you will. And, I think that is his best position right now. And I think that was the biggest thing last year. It's like, we didn't know what position is this guy good at? Is he a six? He doesn't have the athleticism to be a six. He doesn't have the defensive, abilities to be a six. Is he kind of an eight? Is he a 10? Like, we didn't know what he was, but I think, Maresca has kind of found the perfect balance and the players to surround him with to unlock him the most. Now, the only thing about him is, again, once he improves his striking ability, and like we've seen that, like, he has it, but it needs to be a little bit more consistent, because I think it was a couple games ago where, you know, you see defensive lines drop back because they know Enzo isn't like a lethal shooter, like, let's say, Valverde or something like that. You know, once he develops that part of his game, I think he'll be a very, very big threat. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, our fans get on him so much, but I think you notice a world of a difference when Enzo is not there, right? I think that's how you need to judge a player too. When he's not there, our midfield is looking very, very spooky, to be honest, in terms of chance creation, things like that. So, I have so much faith with this kid. I have so much faith in this kid. And, you know, I think once we get more talent around him, like you said, once we get a prolific number nine, who eats his chances, you know, more ball striking wingers who take their chances. I think Enzo will be truly, truly unlocked. And we have the best midfield partner beside him to take the defensive abilities in Moises Caicedo. So I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Just sharing some stats from Enzo as well. He's got the second highest number of assists for Chelsea this season in the Premier League. Only Cole Palmer has more. And also, excuse me. The other stat I shared, was 24 goals and assists this season in all competitions. Yes, he's got more Premier League assists this season than Martin Odegaard, James Maddison, Dominic Szoboszlai, Matthias Kuna, Luis Diaz, Jeremy Doku and Phil Foden. He's got more assists than all of those players. So I think, yeah, give him his flowers. I think Enzo Fernandez deserves a lot of credit. And you're right. I actually agree with you, Dano. When he doesn't play, you can tell. We miss him when he doesn't play. His passing, his work rate, his vision, all of that. You miss that. You miss it when he doesn't play.
You miss it, yeah. That's true. And I will say, too, one more point about him. I think Rambos mentioned it about the leadership aspect. But I also want to mention, again, somebody around that price tag, usually they hold an ego about themselves, right? Again, this guy came off a really good World Cup, whatever it is. But since he's came to Chelsea, I haven't seen, that 120 million price tag ego around him. He is such a humble player. You know what I mean? When he loses, he takes that to heart. When he wins, you can see how passionate he is, right? Again, and this is why I say his price tag is his biggest detriment, because he is a hardworking player, hardworking player, leader, on and off the, it looks like off the pitch as well, but definitely on the pitch. If I had to pick again, that's the biggest issue that in this Chelsea starting 11, I don't know who the leaders are. I would actually consider Enzo more of a leader than Reece. To be honest, I think Reece just has the upper edge because he's an English boy. His teammates probably understand him more. But, you know, I think if there wasn't a language barrier, I think Enzo might be one of our top two, top three leaders on the pitch. So, the pitch stuff, very important too.
Yeah, and I just shared a video of the Chelsea players going around the pitch, celebrating with the fans at the end of the game, which I really liked. And Enzo and Reece were inseparable. They were together. I think I've seen a lot of photos of them together. They seem to have formed quite a good bond. And I think they're in the leadership group as well together. They're kind of the captain and vice captain, really. So that's good to see as well, that he's become part of that kind of that little group, and that there's a lot of respect between Reece and Enzo as well. Like, Ramos, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was going to pick up on that, but it does seem, despite everything that's gone on, there does seem to be a good, camaraderie within the squad. They do seem to get on very well, all of them, you know, and I've noticed that Reece and Enzo seem to have a very good relationship, and they seem pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think, there does seem to be a good bond with a lot of the players.
One thing I will say about this squad, and, you know, as much as we, you know, people criticise that, I do think, you know, there's a good crop of players. I mean, I look at some of the players we've had in recent years, and I would say there's quite a few bad apples, players who were maybe more disruptive influence. But I think although some of these players may not be good enough or may not have longer term futures at the club, everyone in that squad is, you know, good personality, does bring something to the squad.
Yeah, and I think the problems you see with body language with a team, I don't think it's because they're not leaders necessarily, it's because they've got no experience in there to help them. They've got no one to guide them, no one to take them under their wing, you know, to kind of set the example on the pitch when things are difficult, you know, to keep people's heads up. You know, it's difficult when you've got a squad full of young players and there's no experienced leaders or winners to keep your heads up when those things are difficult. I don't really blame the players for that. I blame the sporting directors because they just refuse to buy experienced leaders, which we've been talking about for years.
I always go back to something Graham Souness used to bang on about good senior pros. And when I think of a good senior pro, I think of players like Azpilicueta, James Milner, Jordan Henderson, players who, you know, play a role. If they're not starting in the squad, and they may not be leaders and vocal leaders, but they all lead by example. You know, they're probably the first into training, the last to leave training. They always give 110%. And they're the kind of players every squad needs.
Yeah, absolutely. You need players to settle. Like Frank Lampard was a lot like that. He was a leader often by example. He was vocal. He was vocal on the pitch, but he also set the example every game. Like, he was never injured, played every game, played well every game, pretty much. I don't really remember him having a bad game, actually, for Chelsea.
And if you listen to Harry Redknapp speaking about Frank Lampard, he said, you know, he was a big influence on those other crop of West Ham players, like sort of Michael Carrick, Jermaine Defoe, Rio Ferdinand, because one thing Frank had, he was always the hardest worker.
Yeah.
You know, after training, you know, he'd go home, he'd go running around the block. He would stay for hours after training and practice a shooting left foot, right foot.
Yeah, and I think John Terry mentioned it as well, that like he was the one that at Chelsea, even under Jose, when Jose came, he stayed later after training every night. And he was always out there on his own after training, working on something or running or whatever. And other players, like, you know, all the kind of John Terry's, Ballacks, they all saw him doing this and they thought, oh, we better be doing this as well. And these are all like leaders themselves, but they saw Lampard do it, setting that example, and they all went out there and trained hard with him after training as well. So like Lampard's always been that kind of guy that sets the example for everyone else and sets standards. And yeah, it's good to have some players that still do that. Reece James, when he's on his game, is brilliant, right? And again, he's shown up at big moments as well. That goal against Bournemouth when we were losing, that equaliser against Bournemouth, that was huge. He scored some important goals this season. And, you know, I know he's a winner, and I know that he cares about Chelsea and he wants to win trophies. So good to have him as one of the leaders. And Enzo Fernandez, I mean, he's won the World Cup. I mean, Enzo Fernandez has won the World Cup, so he knows what it's like to win a trophy. And that's good experience to have. And he's developing as a leader. And you can see it. Those two are kind of the co-captains, really, for me, because Reece will never play every game, because of his injury history. So there will always be games, a lot of games in the season where Enzo is captain. So they're kind of co-captains for me. And, that's good. That's good. But we do need more. I think we do need more leaders in the squad and more experience in the squad. Would you say, Rambles?
Yeah, I would like to see. No, I would like to see an experienced player come in the summer. Someone who's been there, done that. Ideally, someone who's won trophies. I don't quite know who that player is, but if we could just add one or two players of that ilk, I think that would really help us go on to the next level.
Yeah, we need like that Thiago Silva, don't we? Kind of player. In the squad, or a couple of them. Yeah. Dano, I know you've been wanting to say something on this for a while, so what are your thoughts on this? You there, Dano? You had your hand up for a while. No?
I was going to mention one name to you. I know we have been linked with, and that's Jonathan Tarr. And he would be available on a free transfer.
Yes, and we have been linked with him, and we have definitely looked at him, and he's on our shortlist. Simon Phillips, he's a friend of the show, a very reliable journalist. He reported it this week that we're looking at him. He's on our list. The only thing is that it seems that Bayern Munich are interested, and you know, he's probably more likely to go there than come here. But yeah, I think in terms of what experience at the back, an experienced centre back, you know, he's physical and powerful, whatever. Yeah, and he's on a free transfer. So yeah, I think that would be. A lot of people think that might be a good shout in terms of getting some experience in at the back. I do think that if all our centre backs were fit and we signed Houston, that Houston and Fofana would probably be the starting centre backs. But it's good to have depth in that position. Especially if you're playing, even if we're playing just Europa League, you want to have depth in that position because Fofana can get injured, you know, and you want to give a rest to players and not play them literally every game. Because you burn them out. So, yeah, like, but Dan, are you here now?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that leadership thing with Enzo and Reece, and then also Jonathan Tarr as a potential sign-in?
Yeah. Like I think I already mentioned, Enzo, in terms of leadership, he definitely on the pitch. He's very vocal. You see the emotion. You see the passion. Reese as well. I think actually, I want to touch on the comments that Reese made. Maybe I think it was last week. You know, and some people kind of might have misconstrued it, but I'm really happy he made those comments about you know, this is not the standard or whatever. I'm just paraphrasing, but this is not the standard. And, you know, we didn't feel prepared when we lost against in the Conference League. I'm very happy he made those comments because I think Reese is the voice of the people, if I could say that, right? I think Reese was saying what every fan was saying. And even though, you know, some might take that as negative, as, you know, kind of, you know, the mentality is poor or whatever it is. I don't think so at all. I think, again, it's just what every Chelsea fan was thinking at that moment, that there's no reason why we should be losing against this team at home, right? So, again, I'm a big fan of that type of leadership. Jonathan Tah, I'm not too familiar with him in general, but you know, he was a big part of that Leverkusen performance last year and everything, yeah. Right? So, So I know he's a pretty decent defender, of course, to be able to do what he did for Leverkusen. I wanted to go touch on the striker kind of conversation because we talked about the wingers and stuff. I wanted to talk on the striker, and the most recent news about strikers is with this Osimhen thing, of how a lot of teams are not impressed with I've been hearing attitude or his wages. I don't know. Yeah. Can you speak a bit about that?
Well, yeah, there's a story that came out today, and I shared it on my Twitter, that he essentially wants $400,000 a week.
Yeah, which is wild.
Like, you know, and plus bonuses. And I'm like, you're not that good. You're good, but you're not that good. And you know, Man United aren't going for him now. Chelsea aren't going for him now. And he'll probably end up going to Saudi because of those ridiculous demands. And so, like, as a player, yeah, he's a great player. But that attitude, that'd be another Lukaku for me. I don't want that.
Go ahead.
If you believe reports, he really wants to come to the Premier League, supposedly. So you'd think you would kind of lower his demand.
Well, that's what I'm hearing too, Rambles, is that, again, you have agent Mikel saying that he wants to come to Chelsea. He wants to be the Drogba regen and everything like that, right? But again, I think after playing in the Turkish league, right? You know, and I'm not knocking down the Turkish league. There's still a lot of talent in that league, quality football being played there. But I don't think you could be asking for those type of demands coming after a year in the Turkish league, right? You know, obviously we know the night and day difference between that league, the Prem, or any kind of top three Europe league, right? As much as I'm a huge Victor Osimhen fan, like I think, his athleticism, his pace, his ball striking, his hold up play, his playmaking is also very underrated in the box, being able to be kind of that, again, that target man for wingers and things like that. Him and that Kvara combination from Napoli was a dangerous, very, very, very dangerous combination. You know, but again, if he really doesn't want to play, like he played for Chelsea, he really has to lower those wages because I don't think anybody is even touching close to 400. I think there was somebody that said there's only a couple players on that 400 salary. I think Haaland is one, and a couple other players, if anybody knows.
Yeah, thank you, Dano. Thank you. They've got Mark up as well. Please do share what are your thoughts on the game and also any of the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, hi, afternoon, everyone. I thought the game was sort of bog standard routine win over typical Everton side. Somebody else touched on it earlier on, what Everton try and do. Look, my question, it's a question for you guys, actually. Coming back to Reece James, my personal opinion is I don't think Maresca's bowled over by Reece James. I think there's a little bit of tension there, reading between the lines, some of the things have been said publicly. What do you see as Reece James' role next season if everyone's fit? Because he's the guy missing out at the minute, isn't it? Lavia's fit, Casido's fit. We're saying that Enzo's in. Where does he fit?
That is a
just throw it out there.
That's a very good question, Mark. Really, genuinely a good question. Because Reece James came back in January And since he came back from injury, he's not missed a game due to injury. You know, he's been available for every game for the last 4 months now. And I think he's played quite well in midfield. Not in every game, but some games I think he's been pretty good in midfield. I think the reason they're playing him in midfield is they're a bit concerned about him getting injured playing as a, you know, bombing fullback.
Yeah, that's very demanding.
So I agree with, I actually would love to see him as a right centre back. I think he'd be really good at that. Because it's, you know, he's basically defending, but he's still on the right. But he's still got that opportunity to, you know, do that. I mean, he's an incredible crossfield passer. Like, his vision is incredible. You know, he could be like a deep line playmaker if he wanted to be. Honestly, his passing is that good. And I think keeping him, my view on it is I keep him around, and he can play multiple positions. And because I don't think selling him does any good, because I don't think that I don't want another club to benefit from his talent. And also I think he wants to be here and he's happy to play the role that he's playing. He knows he can only play once a week. I don't think he would demand to be a regular starter in every game now because of his injury history. But I think he brings leadership. I think he understands the club and the culture, and, you know, he has the winning mentality, and I would keep him around and extend his contract.
Do you think there could be a bit of tension there? I'm not looking
to that interview after the Lega Warsaw game was like, oh, that was a bit of a veiled criticism of Varaska.
Thinking about England as well, I mean, Tuchel clearly sees him as a right back, and Enzo doesn't.
Exactly.
Where does that?
Tuchel got the best out of him. Yeah, Tuchel played him as a right wing back. He played him as a right centre back as well, and he was brilliant in both those positions. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Gamble?
Yeah, I've seen a lot made of the Reece James situation. Some people are asking, you know, is there, you know, does Enzo not fancy him? Is there a bit of friction there? I mean, personally, I think it's just a case of he's just trying to manage his minutes through to the end of the season. And I think Enzo made a comment post-match about Enzo and Lavia, about Reece and Lavia and just managing their minutes between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a sad indictment of where we are with Reece James. He can't play, currently he can't play two, three times a week. So I think it is a case of picking and choosing the games he does play. And also, I think our midfield shortage is probably being a factor as well. You know, obviously, for the last X amount of months, we've only had really Enzo and Caicedo. So I think maybe Reece playing midfield in the Europa Conference League has been to give one of those two guys a break.
I think he's benefited from not having that midfield depth. And to be fair, I thought he's done perfectly well in midfield. He scored a really important goal for midfield in the Conference League, in that 3-0 win. I think we all love Reece James. I think he really loves Chelsea. I don't think he wants to leave under any circumstances. I think he'd rather just stay here. And, you know, he'll get games. We're going to be playing about 50, 60 games a season, every season. If we're playing in Europe, we're going to play 60 games a season. And so we're going to be playing twice a week. So there's going to be plenty of games for him to play. You know, if we're playing twice a week, then he'll get regular football because, you know, he'll play one game a week. And it will depend on what game it is that he'll play. But yeah, I think like having him around as a leader and Chelsea DNA, Everton is a good thing. And I think we should extend his contract. But that is a really, really good question, Mark. And I think also like Josh Achempong comes into this as well because he has played a lot of right back and been really, really good. And he's played also midfield and played centre back. And he's been excellent. So he's challenging for that place as well. So that's extra competition. We've got essentially three players that can play right back. And two of them can play right centre back as well, because Josh and Reece can both play right centre back. There's some good competition in there, but that's healthy. And I think, you know, given Reece's injury history, it's good to have three players in that position What do you think?
Yeah, that's been a big issue the last few seasons. Reece, obviously, he's been out for an extended period of time and has left us short. But with Achimpong and Gusto, we now are going to have good depth and good options. So we can afford to give Reece games off, you know, to give him that rest. Or if he is unfortunately injured, we have got cover. So we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, and having Endo around as the, like, second captain or vice captain is really helpful as well, because he can captain the games where Reece isn't playing. And you still have a leader on the pitch. Those two together are a good team as well, I think. They work together pretty well. So there's that continuity of leadership even when he's not in the court. Yeah. So thank you, Mark. Thank you for that. And thank you to everyone who has joined us today. We had a lot of callers today, which is really, really great. I apologise that Louis isn't here. I'm sure he has a good reason to not be here, so we wish him well. There will be a voice note review, hopefully, by Louis later today on all podcast platforms. This show will be available as a podcast tomorrow on all podcast platforms as well. And we'll be back, obviously, with the next game, I think, which is the Conference League semi-final on Thursday. My mind's gone blank about the opposition, but we'll... And then, of course, next Sunday, Liverpool at home, massive game. We'll be here doing our show after that game. And hopefully you'll join us for that. Thank you to everyone who's come up. Thank you to Rambles and Ma and everyone else who's come up. Your voices are really important. This is your show. We want you to have a say. And a lot of you have come up and shared your views today, which is really, really great. So thank you, everyone. And up the Chelsea.